This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, printed copies of today's service, and our special DVD series, Basic Biblical Truths, will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Is thankfulness more than just practicing good manners? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to join us. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, give to us thankful hearts. We realize, O God, that this also is a gift that comes to us from you. For we are prone to be so self-centered that we don't think we owe anybody anything. But grant that our thankfulness can be more than just good manners, but that it can come from a heart that has been touched by your love, realizing that everything we have is a gift that has come from you. Thank you, Father, and thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Bless our program this day. We ask it in your holy name. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "You rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The stories of Jesus, such as this one, present us with a lot of different thoughts. And each one of these thoughts could easily be developed into a sermon. For example, we could talk today on the general theme, if we so desired, that prejudices and divisions suddenly disappear when there is a common problem. You see, in this group of 10 people, one was a Samaritan. Normally, Jews would have nothing to do with Samaritans. But these 10 men had a common problem. Their problem was that they were lepers. And they could get together now because they needed to do something to maintain life. So the sores didn't matter much whether you were a Samaritan or a Jew. It would be quite a sermon. It could be quite a message that our Lord is giving to us in this particular thought. Also here in this, we find, of course, the healing power of Jesus. He heals the lepers. We are not physically lepers. But many of us, perhaps all of us, in one way or another, are spiritual lepers. So as a result of that, we could talk about the healing power of Jesus to take away our sins and to restore us into fellowship with God. We could talk about many other things, but the one that I really want to talk with you about today, the one thought, is that matter of thankfulness. For certainly that stands out very prominently in the words that I have read to you. Now, there are many kinds of thankfulness. There's a thankfulness that is taught, which is nothing more than good manners. Parents will say to their child, now be sure to say thank you. You know, when your child goes out on Halloween night and is going to go tricks and treating, what do you say? When they give you the candy, be sure to say thank you. And how often have we not opened the doors and given those little children a piece of candy and they said, thank you, thank you. Or if they were little and their mothers or fathers were with them, out on the street somewhere, there would be someone saying, did you say thank you? Now, that's good training, and we certainly do not minimize it in any way. Then there's another kind of thanking that perhaps is just a little bit more mature, and that is thanking somebody who has helped us when we are in a real predicament. That happens often, doesn't it? There are things that we don't know what we're going to do next. Where do I go? What do I do? This is a rather simple little thing, but it was terribly difficult for me. As some of you know, I have been the caregiver for my wife for the last 13 years, who is pretty much a wheelchair patient, and from the result of it being a stroke. Sometimes it is necessary for her to have assistance when she goes to the bathroom, to the restroom. And so if we're traveling, we have to make some kind of arrangements with the management of the restaurant if it's all right for me to go in and assist or how we're going to get this all done. And we get along very fine. Never has it been too much of a problem until one day we were in O'Hara Airport in Chicago. And as we were getting ready to board our plane to move on, my wife said to me, you know, I believe I need the restroom. And I thought, oh, my. Now what am I going to do? So she said, no problem at all. I know exactly what to do. You just wheel me down to this large entrance into this room. So I did this. And there she sat for a minute, and a lady came along, and she said, you know, I need some assistance in the restroom. Would you be willing to help me? And the lady looked at her and smilingly said, I would consider it a privilege if you would let me do that. You see, my mother is in a wheelchair too. I tell you, I thanked and thanked and thanked that good woman for being so kind and helping me when I was in a real predicament. In fact, if I could have bought her dinner, I would have been more than happy to do that. Now, that has a thank you that I believe has a little bit more meaning than just when you give a Tootsie Roll to a child on Halloween night. Maybe not. But there are different kinds of thank yous. Then there are the thank yous that we get from that we want to extend to some who are with us much of the time and do an awful lot for us. I think of parents. How can you ever stop thanking God for your parents if they have brought you into this world and raised you and saw to it that you were educated, and especially if they taught you the faith, as many of our parents did? There is a good spouse. I can't imagine what life would have been like without my wife. And so we say thank you all the time. We don't have to be so terribly formal with it. We can show the thankfulness in the way that we go about life together. And our children, when we see them doing well, growing up, becoming mature men and women, we thank God for them. But now the one that I'd like to really focus in on is that thankfulness that comes when God has captured our hearts and has caused us to understand that every blessed thing that we have is a gift that has come from Him. Here's a story, and I've read it to you, but let's go over it again. Jesus had entered into a little town between Samaria and Galilee. Now, there was no love lost between the Samaritans and the Jews. But these 10 people, as I've already mentioned, because of their common disease, were willing to be together. They didn't care whether they were Jews or Samaritans. Help us. Let us help one another. So as they were walking along the road, Jesus came to them. And they cried out. Interesting, they didn't say, "Lord, will you save us?" And they must have had some knowledge of Jesus. They simply said, "Have mercy on us. Here we are, Lord. We're helpless. We can't come near you. But will you have mercy on us?" And then our Lord said, "You go and show yourself to the priest." Now, the priest was the one who had the authority to tell a person when he had been cleansed of his leprosy and if he could go back to normal living and affiliate with the rest of society. So they started on the way, all 10 of them, trusting that what Jesus had said would happen. And when they saw that they were healed, 9 of them rushed on to the priest, but the other one turned back and knelt at Jesus' feet. What did he say? What was going on? Something really drastic had caught this man's whole being. Now, let's take the other 9 first. They might not have been bad people. Somebody might have been so excited that he said, "Boy, I've got to get home to see my children. And I haven't embraced my wife for so many, many months because of this dreadful disease. But now I can be back in the family again." You can understand that he wanted to get going. Another one might have said, "Well, my business needed attention when I was taken away from there. I've just simply got to get back and see that it gets going again." And another one might have said, "Well, I'm going to send Jesus a thank you," if they had mail or whatever it might have been in those days. But the one returned to Jesus, praising God, it says, and bowed at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, "Were not the other 9 also cleansed?" And there was no statement, I guess, made concerning that, but he said to the one who had returned and praised him and thanked him, "Rise up, your faith has made you well." That person, he is expressing a thank you that comes from the innermost part of his heart. The basic thank you that will be with him forever. The thank you that becomes a part of his personality because it comes from a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, when Jesus says, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well," it was not only the cleansing of the leprosy, but it was that he had had a spiritual encounter with Jesus Christ. Friend, I'd like to talk to you about that for just a moment. Occasionally, people will ask the question, "When did you become a Christian?" And one of my friends could tell you, as I've heard him tell many where we live, I was 22 years old when I received the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him into my life. And another one would say, well, I did it much younger than that. And then they would say to me, when did you become a Christian? And I was raised in a Lutheran Christian home. My father and my mother brought me to the baptismal font when I was just a few days old. And our church believes that there God enters into a covenant relationship with us in baptism, the baptism of an infant. But like I've said so often on this particular program, it is not there that it stops. For there it is that the Word of God says that we are also to teach. And so the liturgy for the baptismal service says, take that child home and introduce him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach him the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and place in his hands the Holy Scriptures, and bring him to the services of God's house. It all amounts to this, introduce him to Jesus. And so I was introduced to Jesus, and as I walked along the way through grade school and high school, I was a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ was my Savior. But I think it is also necessary for us who have that particular experience to say there came a time when, because of all the good teaching by church and home and everyone else, I was ready to say and to commit myself, Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. I don't think you have to be able to give the hour or the time, but there is that period where this has happened. I want you in my life. And unless that is there, I begin to wonder, where does a personal relationship with Jesus Christ actually start? If you have personal relationships, you have experiences that you often like to talk about. I remember at 17 years of age, I had a personal experience with Jesus Christ one day when I was reading my New Testament. John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then that day came. And I recall that in a very special way, the heavens were open and I knew that Jesus Christ had taken over my life. That's an experience. That is what was happening to that leper. That came because he turned back and went into the presence of Jesus Christ. I believe that this is very important. When he lays hold of my life, he lays hold of your life. We perhaps have always been Christians, but there are those high points. When we have our spiritual experiences, or when we have our conversions, or when we have our awakenings, whatever you may want to call them, that Jesus Christ and you are very much one. And so we walk on. Soon we begin to see God in the ordinary things of life. One of our great teachers in our church years ago, Elvin Rognes, said, isn't it interesting that it seems to have to be the extraordinary things that God does for us that really makes us thankful? Why not the ordinary things? I remember this summer, I went out and played a game of golf with one of our grandchildren. And as we were talking, just the two of us there that day, I was pondering if I should ask that question, but finally I did. Talked to him just a little bit about his future. And he said to me, Grandpa, what is most important is what happened at the cross. For there I met the Savior, and he will guide my life no matter what I do. That was the best game of golf I had this summer. I don't recall what the score was. I don't want to know what it was. But it was a great, great day, and I could only thank God. I thank you, God, for everything you have given. And finally, after a while, that thanksgiving that is built in that way, that was built in the life of that one leper, suddenly becomes a way of life. And you look at life as really one great gift from God. Thank you for the big things, for the little things, and for everything else, then genuine thankfulness is demonstrated in our behavior. Then we say, okay, I want to live out of love, out of thanksgiving for the Lord Jesus Christ. So it affects my stewardship, doesn't it? If he has given everything that I have to me, don't I want to return a part of that to him? If he has given me all that I have, my eyes and ears and everything else, doesn't it mean that I will want to say, Lord Jesus, take my whole body and use it? Even when it is growing old and it's a little rickety in comparison with what it was, whatever I have, use it, God. Use it to bear witness to others of what you can do when you touch the heart and engulf that heart to the place that you say, thank you, thank you. It comes to the place where we have a hunger for the Word of God. The Word of God. So I believe that that is the main message that God has in store for us from that portion of the Word of God. Living in a thankful spirit because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has really done and continues to do for us. Just think about it. He takes our sins away. Now, I mentioned to you at the beginning of the service that in these great stories that reveal acts that have happened in the life of our Lord, there are many other themes that could be produced and sermons that could be written on the same text. There is one other that I'd just like to, in closing, bring to your attention. And that is, it says that there were 10 lepers. Well, perhaps it was just that there were 10. Interesting that one of the 10 came back. That ratio seems to catch my attention. And you may say, now, hey, you're departing so far from the text that I don't believe what you're saying is necessarily true. I understand. But my question today is this about where we are in the church today? That 10% of the people who belong to our congregations are turning back and are letting Christ capture their hearts and take over their lives. I meet an awful lot of thankful people, many who have helped in so many ways in these last years for us. We say thank you to them. But is it a thank you kind of like you're taught? Or is it a thank you for just some particular blessing that you had in a predicament? Or is it a thank you that is built right into your soul because you have walked with the Lord Jesus? In a given congregation, would it be about 10% whose lives have been captured by Christ? Think of it. 10% of that whole congregation who really walk in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? The strength of your congregation depends on how many people really walk with him on a daily basis in a personal way. Don't let anybody kid you. That's the strength of the congregation and nothing else. The person's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it only 10% who have met and continue to meet him on a regular basis? How many in our congregations know Christ personally? Well, only God and the individual can answer such a question, and it is facetious probably to even raise it. But I do. I do because I'm very concerned that people think that they're a finished product just because they joined the church, and that is not true. Now let me finally get very personal. Where do you find yourself in this story? Are you one of the 9? Who said, well, I got to get going. Look what the Lord Jesus has done for me, and I can't say thank you enough. But I'll be back, God. I'll be back. But right now, I got to get going. Or are you the one? Is that where you find yourself? Pray to God that you are, that you come back to him day in and day out to thank him and to receive the greater blessings of knowing Christ in a personal way. Amen. The words of that hymn, "Let us pray." We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. We thank you, Father, that we have been taught by parents to say thank you. We thank you that there are those experiences where we're able to say to another person, thank you. But we thank you especially that you have come into our life to redeem us. And so we may come as did the leper of old and place ourselves at your feet on a daily basis, crying out, Lord, be merciful, and hearing you say, your faith has made you well. Thanks, God, for every good thing. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's gospel message will bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is supported entirely by our listening audience. People around the world have been able to hear the message of salvation as a result of these gifts and prayers. We ask for your continued prayerful and financial support in sharing the gospel message for years to come. Today's service is available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website also has many other spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit us anytime at christiancrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a generous gift to help cover production and mailing costs will be appreciated. We are also offering a special DVD series of 5 sermons titled Basic Biblical Truths by Reverend Larson for a suggested donation of $10 per program. Address all requests to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Dial toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.